بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، واشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له، واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله ارسله ربه رحمه للعالمين. نكمل اليوم ان شاء الله دروس نتعلمها من قصه ابي ذر الغفاري رضي الله عنه، وذلك في سلسله مصابيح الهدى اي الصحابه الكرام، حتى نتعلم منهم في واقعنا المعاصر في كندا ان شاء الله. وقبل ان ابدا، يعني احيانا يلتبس علي ابو ذر رضي الله عنه، فلما اتكلم عن ابو ذر اقول بلال رضي الله عنه. وفي خطبه الجمعه كما ذكرنا المره الماضيه كنت اتكلم عن بلال وذكرت اسم ابي ذر رضي الله عنه. وهذا الامر وارد اذا كان الانسان يعني يشتغل في الامامه او الخطابه او كذا، ويعطي كثير من الدروس احيانا يلتبس الامر. نذكر قصه لطيفه للدكتور صفوان حجازي، وانا اعتقد انه كثير منكم يعلم، هو زار المسجد الرشيد على ما سمعت في الماضي. الدكتور صفوان حجازي دعي لالقاء خطبه النكاح في احد المساجد، كان احد الصالحين يتزوج فدعي، الكلام كان بعد العصر والمسجد ممتلئ بالوجهاء والعلماء وكذا. فبدا الشيخ يتكلم حفظه الله، فتكلم عن فضل النكاح في يوم الجمعه، وهو ما تكلم كثيرا عن مساله الزواج، ولكن ركز كل كلامه على يوم الجمعه، انه فيه خلق الله سبحانه وتعالى، بدا خلق السماوات والارض، وفيه خلق ادم، وفيه تقوم الساعة، وما طلعت الشمس على يوم أفضل من يوم الجمعة، وفي ساعة إجابة وكذا وكذا، نصف ساعة بالكلام في فضائل يوم الجمعة والزواج يوم الجمعة. وبعدين بعد نصف ساعة من الكلام الطيب اللطيف قال له صغير حلو قد كده، قال له عمو ماما بتسلم عليك وبتقول لك النهارده الثلاث. فهو الراجل انا شفت الفيديو بتاعه هو بيحكي القصه اللي حصلت له، يعني قال انا كنت في نص هدومي، لانه مشكلته ان هو ركز على فضاء يوم الجمعه ما اتكلمش على الجواز اصلا. فاحس بال يعني يعني كان يتمنى ان الارض تبتلع. So the reason I'm telling this story is because we're talking about Abu Dharr رضي الله عنه. And oftentimes when I speak about Abu Dharr, I confuse him with Bilal رضي الله عنه. So I would say Bilal instead of Abu Dharr. And sometimes when I speak about Bilal, I say Abu Dharr. So I confuse the two names. And I was saying basically that this happens with people who give a lot of talks. Like the past week, I gave like 20 talks in this masjid and other places. So sometimes because of all the mental activity, sometimes you go crazy. Sometimes you confuse things. Dr. Safwat Hijazi was one day invited to give a talk before somebody got mad, and that was after Asr. So the masjid was full of scholars and great people. So he started to speak. He spoke for a few minutes about marriage, and most of the talk was dedicated to the greatness of the day of Jummah. Like that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started the creation on Friday, that the hour will be established on Friday, Adam was created on Friday. He spoke about the hour on Friday, which is most likely after Asr, in which your prayers are most likely to be accepted, as said in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For 30 minutes he was talking about the greatness, the virtue, and the blessings of Friday, and how great it is for people to get married on Friday. And all of a sudden, after 30 minutes, a little kid came to him and said, Uncle, Amu, my mom is giving you salams, and she's telling you that today is Tuesday, not Friday. And he was very disappointed and astonished. And he said, I just would wish that I just disappear and nobody can see me. But things happen. We are human beings, we make mistakes. We are still talking about Abu Dharr, not Bilal, رضي الله عنه. And last time we said that he was one of the first people to accept Islam, and we mentioned some of the changes in his life. What he was before Islam, according to some narratives, a highway robber, like the rest of the people in the tribe of Wafat. And after Islam, he changed completely. And I'll mention at the end of the story, when he died at the time of his death, they couldn't even find a shroud for him. That shows you how decent life he lived after he became Muslim. And I usually pose this question. Of course, we mention the story of the Sahaba so we can learn from them. By giving you these stories, I don't mean to entertain you. Because if the purpose of these lectures is to entertain, you shouldn't be sitting here. You should go watch movies or hockey or play video games. The reason why I'm telling these stories is to learn something. And I focus on the things that are relative to our lives in Canada as Muslims. As I mentioned last time, Umar ibn Khattab, Mus'ab ibn Umayr, Abu Dhar, and other great Sahaba, they changed completely after Islam. Before Islam, they lived a life of sin. They lived a life of corruption. They lived a life of indecency. But after Islam, subhanAllah, they changed completely. Islam made a change in their lives. So what about you? I want you, before you go to bed today, to sit for just a couple of minutes and ask yourself, am I a good Muslim? Did Islam make an impact on my life? Because Islam is not only about praying 5 times or 7 times in the masjid. Islam is not only about giving 2.5% of your money for charity, zakat. Islam is not only about fasting for 30 days in the month of Ramadan. Because, telling you the truth, quite frankly, if fasting is all about not eating, not drinking during the day, then camels will get more rewards than you. Because they go for months without food or water. Okay? Islam is not only about making the Hajj. All these things I mentioned are related to your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what about your relationship with the people? This is what matters. الدين المعاملة كما يقولون. الدين المعاملة. Religion is all about behavior. كان مدرس اللغة الإنجليزية عندي في الثانوي كان دائما يقول هذه المقولة في نهاية الشهر لما كنت أروح عند الدروس الخصوصية كان يقول الدين المعاملة. الدين المعاملة. في اللهجة المصرية الدين بمعنى يعطيني والمعاملة بمعنى أعطيني المصاري أجل الدروس في نهاية الشهر. فهو ما قصد الدين المعاملة، قصد الدين المعاملة يعني يعطيني المصاري. Islam is not about, I mean, it is good to practice Islam, to look like a Muslim, to practice your religion as a Muslim, to have a strong relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it is good to have a long beard. It is also very important to have a short tongue. The more your beard should go longer, the more or the shorter your tongue should be. بعض الناس يعني الإسلام بالنسبة لهم مسألة مظاهر يعني لحية طويلة والثوب قصير كل هذا شيء ممتاز اتباع السنة وكذا ولكن أين اتباع هدي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في أفعاله وفي تعاملاته مع الناس العملية مش مجرد الصلاة في الجامع بس والصيام وهذه الأمور هذه أشياء طيبة ودي أشياء مطلوبة من كل إنسان إنما المطلوب أهم أن تنعكس عباداتك وصلتك بالله على تعاملاتك مع الناس صحيح؟ ولذلك تجد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في كثير من الأحيان يذكر أن الأشياء الموصلة للجنة ما ذكرش مسألة العبادات وكذا ذكر أن امرأة دخلت النار في هرة حبستها لا هي أطعمتها ولا كذا ورجل دخل الجنة في كلب أطعمه ولما سئل عن المرأة تصلي وكذا ويعني تسيء إلى جيرانها قال هي في النار العبادة شيء طيب ولكن المعاملة مهمة برضه يعني الإنسان كمسلم يمشي على رجلين رجل العبادة ورجل المعاملات إيه فائدة إن الإنسان يصلي في المسجد 5 مرات ويصوم في رمضان ويحج 7 مرات ويقولوا له يا حاج 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 إبراهيم وهو يظلم الناس بيسرق ميراث الناس بيظلم أخواته وبنات بيظلم زوجته بيظلم أولاده بيظلم نفسه فالعبادة إذا لم يكن لها أثر في حياة الإنسان فما الفائدة؟ والإنسان بيعذب نفسه بس في رمضان بمسألة الصيام وكذا 30 يوم. طب ما احنا قلنا إن في الجامع بيمشي 3 أو 4 شهور بدون أكل أو شراب. هل العملية عملية صلاة وزكاة وكذا؟ ليس هذا يكفي. المهم المفروض من الإنسان إنه عباداته ومعاملاته تكون لله سبحانه وتعالى. فاسأل نفسك هذا السؤال: هل أنا على الطاعة؟ هل الإسلام والعبادة تؤثر في تعاملاتي مع الناس أم لا؟ المرة الماضية ذكرنا أنه أبو ذر رضي الله عنه أخطأ في أمرين أمام النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، والنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صوبه في نفس الموقف. ذكرنا موقفه مع بلال رضي الله عنه، وأن أبا ذر رضي الله عنه سب بلال وقال له: يا ابن السوداء. فقال له النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: أسببته؟ يعني النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ما حكم عليه مباشرة، ولكن سأله إن كان فعلها، فقال: نعم أنا سببتك. فقال له النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: إنك امرؤ فيك جاهلية. فوضع أبو ذر رضي الله عنه رأسه على الأرض وقال لبلال: ضع قدمك على رقبتي لتقتص منه. فقال: عفوت عنك لوجه الله. Last time we mentioned two situations in which Abu Dharr رضي الله عنه was corrected by the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. The first time when he insulted Bilal رضي الله عنه, who had been a slave before Islam and who was a black slave. So they had a disagreement, Abu Dharr and Bilal. So Abu Dharr رضي الله عنه said, "You son of the black woman," and he meant it, you know, an insult. Okay. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم asked him, "Did you insult him with his mother?" The Prophet ﷺ didn't jump to conclusions and he started to make statements. He also wanted to listen to what he had to say before he made a judgment. So Abu Dharr said, "Yes, O Prophet of Allah, I insulted him with his mother." So the Prophet ﷺ said, "You are a person who still has some remnants or qualities of the pre-Islamic times, racism. And you shouldn't have this in you. Because technically, if you are white or yellow or brown or black, what difference will it make? If you have a red apple, a yellow apple, a green apple, what difference does it make? The skin color doesn't matter. What matters is the core, the sweetness of the inside." And this is what the Prophet ﷺ meant in the hadith: "Inna Allaha لا ينظر إلى صوركم ولا إلى أجسامكم ولكن ينظر إلى قلوبكم وأعمالكم." Allah does not judge you by the way you look or how handsome or tall or big you are. Allah judges you by the purity of your heart and the sincerity of your actions. This is what matters with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I studied African American history for 3 years for my master's on the Nation of Islam. And back then, in the 1950s, in the 1960s, if you heard of Malcolm X and the civil rights movement, there was this common saying back then: if you are white, you are right. If you are black, go back. If you are brown, stick around. If you are yellow, you are mellow. So they are basically judging people according to their skin color. And Islam came to destroy all these things, to abolish these racist behaviors and racist teachings. Till today, in some Muslim countries, and this is the sad part, this is the sad reality. In some Muslim countries, till today, people will respect you based on your skin color. The lighter color you have, the more respect you will get. And some people will respect you because of your passport. Your passport. If you have an American or Canadian passport, even if you are a shoeshine guy, they will respect you in these Muslim countries. But if you are from any other country in that area and you have a PhD, they may not respect you in the same way. And this is a shame. This is a shame. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that piety and righteousness, in Surah Al-Hujurat, chapter 49, verse 13, that righteousness and piety should be the basis for our judgment on people, not their skin color, not their passport. So we have to be careful about these things. Then when Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu admitted that he insulted Bilal with his mother, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, corrected him, he admonished him. So Abu Dharr put his head on the ground and he told Bilal radiallahu anhu to step over his head as a punishment for him. So Bilal radiallahu anhu was, you know, a good person. He said, I forgive you for the sake of Allah. The second example, and this is very important, and I wish that all of our leaders in back home can learn from this hadith. جاء أبو ذر إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في الحديث الصحيح الذي رواه مسلم وقال يا رسول الله ألا تستعملني يعني ألا تعطيني الإمارة على مدينة أو قرية أو منطقة معينة تجعلني أميرا يعني فضرب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم على منكبه ثم قال يا أبا ذر إنك ضعيف وإنها أمانة وإنها يوم القيامة خزي وندامة إلا من أخذها بحقها وأدى الذي عليه فيه. So according to this authentic hadith reported by Muslim, Imam Muslim, Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, thinking he was a righteous Muslim, he was a good person, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, O Prophet Allah, why don't you use me in a leadership position? Give me a city or a country or a town to be the ruler of, you know, to make use of my skills. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tapped him on the shoulder and said, listen Abu Dharr, you are a weak person. Probably he was talking about physically or in administrative terms. But I think he was, it's impossible that he was talking about his level of faith. He was talking about his leadership and administrative skills, not his faith or his level of iman. So the Prophet ﷺ said, Abu Dharr, listen, you are a weak person and leadership is a trust. And on the day, leadership will be a source of shame and disgrace for those who take it and they are not qualified for it. Except for those who become leaders and they are qualified to lead. And mashallah, if you look at those countries 10,000 miles away, there are some guys who are in leadership position in presidents and leaders and princes and kings, and I personally wouldn't hire one of them to run my candy shop. So الإنسان إذا طلب إلى مسألة الإمارة إذا كان محلا وطلبه الناس وانتخبوه كذا فما ما في مانع أبدا إن الإنسان يتولى هذه المناصب لأنه إذا ما تولاها إنسان صالح حيجي إنسان إذا كان إنسان صالح ورفض الإمارة هيجيب واحد طالح يقود الناس ولذلك في قصة سيدنا يوسف عليه السلام في سورة يوسف لما جاء إلى العزيز وقال اجعلني على خزائن الأرض إني حفيظ عليم فهو طلب الإمارة سيدنا يوسف عليه السلام وهو ما طلبها من نفسه العزيز هو الذي عرض عليه هو ما راحش وخد الإمارة بالغصب وبالعفو العزيز قال وقال الملك ائتوني به أستخلصه لنفسي في بعض الناس تفهم خطأ أن سيدنا يوسف هو فرض نفسه على العزيز لا الملك هو الذي عرض عليه وقال الملك ائتوني به أستخلصه لنفسي يعني أستعمله في الإمارة وفي إدارة شؤون البلاد فقال له يوسف عليه السلام استعملني في هذا المكان في مسألة وزارة المالية والاقتصاد هذا التخصص بتاعه وأنا أجيد في هذا الأمر وعرض السي في بتاعه وقال إني حفيظ عليم يعني إني مؤتمن أمين وكذلك ألا أنا على علم ودراية بهذا الأمر طيب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول في الحديث أن من أتته الإمارة بغير مسألة أعين عليها ومن أتى الإمارة بمسألة أوكل إليه بعضكم يذكر المقولة الشهيرة بتاعة الشيخ الشعراوي من طلب إلى شيء أعين عليه ومن طلب شيء أوكل إليه هو كان يعني يقول الحديث بالمعنى The Prophet ﷺ says that if someone comes to a leadership position and people are requesting him to be in this position, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be always there for his assistance and guidance. But for those who take over leadership positions and the people hate them, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make them rely on themselves. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not support or assist them. And this is a very powerful hadith. So the Prophet sallallahu is saying, if you are not qualified to lead, whether you are in a school, whether you are in a company, whether you are running a country, if you don't think you have the qualities to lead your people, then you should step aside and let someone who is more qualified to lead. Otherwise, as the Prophet sallallahu said, on the Day of Judgment, this, if you are not qualified, will be a source of shame and disgrace for you. أذكر مقولة لعمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه، يعني هي لها علاقة بمسألة الإمارة والحكم وكذا. وكل واحد لو نظرت إلى الدول العربية جميعا بدون ذكر أسماء، لأن هم كلهم عندهم نفس المصيبة، كل واحد عاوز ابنه يحكم بعده. مش هذكر أسماء زي ما قلت، لأن كلهم عاوزين يعملوا نفس الموضوع، سواء شرقا أو غربا، شمالا أو جنوبا. لما طرح عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه واختار ستة من الصحابة حتى ينتخب المسلمون واحدا منهم للخلافة، اختار عثمان واختار عبد الرحمن بن عوف واختار علي، وإلى باقي ستة من الصحابة الكرام. فغضب بعض الصحابة، يعني استغربوا، قالوا يرحمك الله يا عمر، يعني أنت تختار عثمان وعبد الرحمن وعلي وكذا كذا، أما تختار معهم ابنك عبد الله بن عمر؟ أما تعلم سابقته في الإسلام وجهاده مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وروايته للحديث وعلمه وصلاحه وتقواه وكذا؟ فقال عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه: يكفي آل الخطاب أن يأتي واحدا منهم يوم القيامة يحمل أثقال الناس على ظهره. مش عاوز حد تاني من عيلتي يشيل بلاء الناس على ظهره ويسأل عنهم يوم القيامة، يقولوا له: يا ابن عمر، فلان مات مريضا ولم يجد العلاج، لماذا لم تعالجه؟ فلان مات فقيرا وجائعا، لماذا لم تطعمه؟ فلان دخل السجن مظلوما، لماذا لم تنصره؟ And so on and so forth. عمر بن الخطاب when he was stabbed and he was on the verge of death, he selected six people like Uthman, عبد الرحمن بن عوف، علي بن أبي طالب, and the six people. And he told the Sahaba to move from one house to the other and ask people, men and women, to vote which one of the six they vote for to be a Khalifa, the next leader. And of course, we see in this narration that women in Islam have the right to vote on who should lead them. This right was obtained by women in Canada and the US only in the 1930s, that is 75, 77 years ago. طيب. Some people came to Umar and they protested. They said, may Allah have mercy on you. Why didn't you put your son, Abdullah ibn Umar, in the list? He's one of the earliest Muslims to accept Islam. He's one of the great Sahaba in terms of knowledge and taqwa and iman and everything. Why didn't you put him in the list? He said, it is enough for the family of Khattab for one of them to come on the Day of Judgment carrying the burden of the people on his shoulder. I don't want two people of my family to come and stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for judgment. If someone died in prison because someone threw him in jail, you know, wrongly, I will be questioned about this. If someone dies because they couldn't find the medicine, I'll be questioned about this. If someone dies because of hunger, I'll be questioned about this. If someone stumbles on the road and breaks his leg, I'll be questioned about this. So it is enough that only one of my family will stand in judgment before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this. I don't want my son to share this burden. Now look at those leaders in those countries. Every single one of them in Muslim countries, they want their children to come after them, to lead. Their grandchildren to lead. Even if their children are not qualified to lead, some of them are very corrupt, Some of them are very spoiled, rotten. Some of them are crazy, psycho, zombie dudes. Okay? But still, they think that their children qualify. And the way I see it, these guys are so corrupt, they like to stay in power forever to cover for their corruption, and they want their children to come after them to cover for their corruption. Then their grandchildren to cover their corruption and the corruption of their great-grandfather. I'm going to mention one hadith from the story of Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, then we can continue next time. قال أبو ذر رضي الله عنه أمرني خليلي أي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بسبعة أمور. والحديث هو حديث حسنه الألباني وصححه أحمد شاكر. يقول أمرني خليلي يعني النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بسبعة أمور. أمرني بحب المساكين والدنو منهم، وأمرني أن أنظر إلى من هو دوني وألا أنظر إلى من هو فوقي، وأمرني أن أصل الرحم وإن أدبرت، وأمرني أن لا أسأل أحدا شيئا، وأمرني أن أقول الحق وإن كان مرا، وأمرني أن لا أخاف في الله لومة لائم، وأمرني أن أكثر من قول لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله فإنهن من كنز تحت العرش. حديث صحيح وحديث حسن. So Abu Dharr رضي الله عنه, and I conclude with this hadith, he said that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, his friend, he is saying that my friend, he's talking about the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, taught me seven things. Number one, he taught me to love the poor people and to be close to them in the way I live. And he advised me to always look at those who are less fortunate than me. And this is very important because you will better appreciate what you already have if you always look at those who are less fortunate than you are. If you have a fever, or if you have a flu, and you happen to go to the hospital and you see people who are paralyzed, people who have heart attacks, people who have cancer, you will appreciate what you have and you'll be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because it could have been worse. وَأَلَّا أَنْظُرَ إِلَى مَنْ هُوَ فَوْقِي, and not to look at those who are more fortunate than me, because this will make you disappointed. It will always make you question and protest what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. If Allah gives you, 2,000 bucks a month, if you look at those who get 7 or 10, you will always protest what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you. However, the scholars say, it is recommended to look at those who are better than you in terms of ibadah and righteousness. Like, you go to the masjid one time every day, but you see this brother, he goes to the masjid 5 times. It is good that you envy them in this respect, that you wish you had the time, the power, and the energy to go 5 times a day to the masjid. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ordered him and advised him to always have good relationship with his relatives. Silat al-Rahim. To always look after your relatives. Even if you live far away from them, today's technology makes it very easy to call people and to check on them every now and then to see how they're doing. This is Silat al-Rahim. If they are poor, help them out. You can give them some of your charity and your zakat. وَأَمَرَنِي أَلَّا أَسْأَلَ أَحَدًا شَيْئًا. And he said that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم ordered me never to ask anyone anything. If I need anything, I just raise my hands to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask him for assistance and not to rely on people. However, if I happen to need something from someone, like I fall sick and I go to the hospital and the doctor gives me treatment, then I should believe in my heart that the recovery comes from Allah and not from the medicine and not from the doctor. So this is what he meant. And he said that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, number 5, ordered me to always say the truth even if it hurts. I have always to say the truth even if it hurts. And number 6, he ordered me never to be afraid of anyone except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is running the show. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Almighty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the powerful. And as we mentioned last time, إذا كان الله معك فلا تبالي بمن عليك وإذا كان الله عليك فلا تغتر بمن معك. ما فيش حد هينفعك. If you have Allah on your side, then you shouldn't care about who is against you. If you are telling the truth, if you're obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you shouldn't worry about who is against you. But if you have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala against you, it doesn't matter who is with you, because it's no good. Number seven, and he warned me to always say, لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. There is no power, no might, except with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu said that the Prophet says that these words come from a treasure hidden beneath the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala أن يغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا. وأن ينصر إخواننا المسلمين المستضعفين في كل مكان. اللهم انصر إخواننا المسلمين المستضعفين في كل مكان. اللهم كن لهم عونا ونصيرا وكن لهم ولا تكن عليهم. اللهم عليك بمن ظلمهم. اللهم عليك بمن ظلمهم. واغفر لهم المسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات. إنك يا مولانا سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات. وصل اللهم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.